You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. Good morning. Our jurors are lined up, so we'll go ahead and have them brought in. If everybody would remain standing, please.
All right, please. It's offered at the counter for you.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're on the record on KCR 22-21-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We're continuing with evidence on the state's case in chief. The court notes the jurors have all returned, and I've received the juror affirmation from each one of the jurors that they've followed the court's admonishing instruction as we broke for the day yesterday. So thank you again to each of you for following that instruction. At this time, then, I believe the state is prepared to call its next witness. Is the state ready to proceed with a witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who will that be?
Doug Hart.
Very well. You can call your witness, Ms. Blake.
I solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
All right. Before we get started with direct examination, then, would I refer to you as Agent Hart?
That's fine, Judge.
Agent Hart, with the court's exclusionary order here, I'm going to ask, because this case has been live streamed as well as open to the public, have you watched any of the trial testimony that's taken place?
No, I have not.
Have you talked to anyone else about testimony they've provided?
No.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Blake, you can inquire on your direct.
Thank you. Agent Hart, can you remind the jurors where you currently work?
At the present time, I'm the chief deputy for the Canyon County Sheriff's Office.
And where did you work before that?
Prior to that, I was an FBI agent for 27 years.
And when you were with the FBI, did you become involved in a case involving some missing children named Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow?
Yes, I did.
Did you personally assist in that case or work on that case?
Yes, I've worked on the case since its inception in November of 19.
And can you explain why the FBI came to be involved in that particular case?
Yes, it's a very common occurrence for the FBI to be asked to assist in cases involving missing children. Of course, when those cases come to us at the onset of the case, we don't know what has happened. There could be elements of those cases.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. This has become a narrative.
Overruled.
There could be elements of those cases that would, at a future date, indicate a federal prosecution. And so we're brought in early to assist our city and county partners. And that assistance continues through the entirety of the investigation.
Prior to being involved in this case, had you worked on cases involving missing children?
Several.
With regard to this case, did the FBI follow up on leads?
Yes, there were a tremendous number of tips and leads that were received during the course of this investigation. Those leads that involved information out of the state of Idaho were primarily handled by the FBI, and those tips and leads that were within the state were generally handled by the Rexburg Police Department or the Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
In this case, let me back up. Is it common in a case with missing children to look at the parents?
You look everywhere. You cannot have blinders on as a case develops. You have to follow the evidence and follow all of the investigative measures and leads that exist. And that's the process. Sometimes parents are involved, but you don't automatically look to any one individual at the onset of a case.
And is that, in fact, how the investigation proceeded in this case?
Yes.
Are you aware if other specialists or other branches, I may be using the wrong term, other areas of expertise within the FBI became involved in this investigation?
Absolutely, several did. The FBI possesses individuals and units that have particular skill sets that oftentimes can't be replicated due to resources by a city police department or a county sheriff's office. And so In this case, we had forensic accountants. We had electronic cellular telephone specialists. We had the FBI lab. We had our evidence response team. We had analysts, so on and so forth. Each of those individuals or units have a particular expertise and skill set that were brought to bear in this case, as our needs dictated.
And Your Honor, I'm going to ask if I can be handed State's Exhibit 170.
Very well.
Agent Hart, as part of your work with the FBI, did you work on reservations?
I did. I have spent approximately 14 years of my career, either full-time or part-time, on various different Indian reservations.
And with that, did you deal with any kind of burial sites?
Yes. When you're assigned to an Indian reservation, there are specific trainings that you go through in preparation for the types of cases that you might see. One of those trainings is the identification of clandestine grave sites, as well as how to process and exhume clandestine graves.
We talked about you being involved in the search for some missing children. Were you also involved in recovering their remains?
I was present on June 9th and June 10th of 2020 for the search warrant that was executed at Chad Daybell's property, where we located the remains of JJ and Tylee.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask to be allowed to publish State's Exhibit 170C, D, E, and H.
All right. Can you,
one at a time.
With Exhibit 170, what does that entail in total?
The Exhibit 170 runs from 170A to 170U, and then there are some additional portions of it. The packet or the portion that I'm focusing on deal with images taken from the body recovery site.
Okay, and that's an admitted exhibit, correct?
It is.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification there. So you've requested 170 C, D, and H?
E and H.
Okay, those may be published.
Thank you. And Agent Hart, I believe there may be a pointer up there if it's helpful with your testimony.
Got it.
And for the record, I'm currently publishing C. Agent Hart, can you tell us if there's anything within this image that you noticed when you were on scene?
Yes, I think there's some better photographs, but this is a photograph of the location of JJ's burial, which you can see kind of in this area.
And I'll move now to State's Exhibit 170D. And when you said there were some photos showing it a little bit better, is this one of those?
Yes, this demonstrates what we look for when we're searching for a clandestine grave site. One of the telltale signs is a change in the plant growth that's fairly distinctive. So you can see consistency all around, but in this rectangular area here, you have a different color of plants, as well as some lack of growth. And so as you look, you can see a fairly distinctive area here. And this is what I observed as we were doing our initial survey of the property.
And now publishing 170E, does that show anything additional?
It's just a closer demonstration of the a pretty specific line. And as we felt in the dirt, you could actually feel a seam where the sod had been taken up. And again, just an indication that that may be an area where digging has taken place, which proved to be true.
And when you talk about you can actually feel, do you mean with your hand?
Yes.
And now publishing 170H. And do you recall what is in this image?
Yes. As we were walking the property, we had probing sticks, and that's a way to push a rod into the earth. On that spot where we've shown the different growth, I couldn't penetrate that area with a probing rod. And as we took up the first layer of sod, we found a board and rocks, which is what I was hitting with the rod as I was attempting to probe that site.
And again, that's something that you had done previously in your career?
Yes, I've had specific training for that. And prior to that time, I had personally been involved in search warrants with the exhumation of burial sites.
And once those things were removed, what was found underneath those?
JJ's body.
After the recovery of the children's bodies, at any point, did you attempt to speak with the Daybell children?
Yes. Myself and another agent went over to their residence, which is Kitty Corner, to the Daybell property on the evening of June 9th and spoke with them at length about what was taking place.
Was it your understanding initially that they would agree to speak with you?
That's the request that I made to them. We explained that we had some things that we wanted to tell them and talk with them about and asked if they would sit down and meet with us.
At some point, did they decline to meet with you?
Initially, they agreed to meet with us. And then the following day, declined to keep that appointment after speaking with Chad Daybell.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. There's no foundation to suggest that information. I'm going to move to strike.
It's overruled.
Agent Hart, as part of the investigation, and I think we've talked about this before, but did you review some iCloud data?
I spent well over 100 hours reviewing iCloud data, yes.
Do you recall what iCloud accounts those were?
There are two. There's one entitled Lori for Style at iCloud.com, and the second is called Lolly Time at iCloud.com.
And who were those accounts ultimately associated with?
Both of those accounts were registered to or subscribed to Lori Vallow.
And in going through those, was that a significant amount of information?
It's a tremendous amount of information, tens of thousands of text messages, multimedia messages, voicemails, thousands upon thousands of photographs, videos, emails, everything that you would find on a modern smartphone. The iCloud is simply a cloud storage device for all of that content.
And in preparation for your testimony today, did you prepare an exhibit?
Yes.
Do you believe that exhibit would assist you in testifying today?
It would.
Do you believe the exhibit would assist the jurors in understanding your testimony?
I do.
Your Honor, I'm going to hand to the court what's been marked as Exhibit 183B. I will note there are printouts of a PowerPoint. The PowerPoint or the exhibit itself is actually contained within Jump Drive.
All right.
And with the printout, I do have a courtesy copy for Your Honor as well as counsel and one for the court.
Thank you.
And if I may have the witness handed a copy of 183B, the printout.
And Judge, could we have a sidebar, please?
Yes. All right. Thank you, counsel. Based on that sidebar, there's an evidentiary ruling the court is going to need to take up on the record, but outside the presence of the jurors. I think this will be a quick argument in lieu of a break here. If we could just have the jurors line up in the hall, please. And we'll go on the record with the objection. Once the objection's resolved, the jurors will come right back in.
All right, wait.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. We're outside the, well, in the courtroom, the jurors have been excused for hearing on an evidentiary objection. The state's proposed Exhibit 183B. Defense has an objection at this point, and I found it's proper to take it up outside the jurors' presence so that any reference to what may not come in would not be heard by them. So, Ms. Blake, perhaps if you'd give additional foundation of what the proposed exhibit is, and then I'll hear any objection from the defense.
Yes, Your Honor. The exhibit is content from the iCloud accounts associated with Lori Vallow, that Lori for Styles and Lolly Time. Both of those are stipulated to exhibits, meaning the entire content has been stipulated to come in. This particular proposed exhibit is excerpts directly from those accounts, I believe mainly from the Lolly Time account. this was turned over to defense counsel at the end of January as a proposed exhibit. There was a few modifications made, and the modified version was provided to counsel. However, the modifications made included removing three slides in their entirety. There were no other additions or changes made at all to the exhibit. So given that, that's just what the exhibit is.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Mr. Pryor, is there an objection from the defense?
Judge, the objection is not the admission of the exhibit. The objection is that counsel throughout this trial has had a repeated course of action of providing me summaries either late the night before the testimony is to incur, or the morning of, or late in the evening on, again, the day before. I'm not objecting to the admission of the emails from Lolly Time. In fact, that was a stipulation of the parties that those be admitted. What I am asking for is an opportunity to ensure that what Ms. Blake is representing doesn't contain anything outside of what was stipulated to. And the fact that I got an email, I believe it was last night or the night before, that there were modifications made to this, I want to ensure that those modifications are as they were represented, and I ought to be afforded that opportunity.
All right. Ms. Blake, to be clear then, the modifications were taking things out of the proposed exhibit, not adding things in. Is that correct?
Correct. None of the remaining slides have been modified or altered in any manner from what was turned over in January. The only modifications were the removal of three slides.
Okay. Well, considered the objection here then. First, expressly was indicated there's not an objection to the admission of the exhibit. So with that and it being offered, the court will admit Exhibit 183B. In terms of the timing, while I understand it's certainly difficult in the middle of trial to be dealing with any modifications, because this involved the taking out of some information, not adding it in, I think the court could presume that defense counsel has had an opportunity to review that. So I'll have it now that it's admitted. It may be published. However, if during the course of publishing you see something that doesn't seem to comport with your understanding of the exhibit, Mr. Pryor, you are allowed to make an objection, and I would ask the state be ready to stop publishing on quick notice if an objection comes up.
The state has no problem with that, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. And I'll note also then this would be a summary exhibit under Rule 1006. Is that how the state's offering it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, the exhibit's admitted then, and with the objection resolved, we'll have the jurors return for additional evidence.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, please. Please offer us a counter for Your Honor.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we're back on the record after resolving that evidentiary issue. The court notes that Exhibit 183B has been admitted, and you can continue with direct, Ms. Blake.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state would request to publish 183B.
You may publish.
I believe the court has the original jump drive if you'd like me to publish from that.
All right, we'll get that submitted.
Agent Hart, does this appear to, in fact, be the exhibit created by you?
It is.
And Your Honor, I'm going to pause here to allow the jurors to read.
Very well.
And Agent Hart, can you indicate who these messages were being sent from and who these messages were being sent between?
These are messages between Lori Vallow and her brother, Alex Cox.
And can you read the date of these messages into the record?
These three messages are from March 20th of 2019.
When we look at these particular messages, what about them caught your attention?
Alex Cox was a figure during the course of our investigation, and what caught my attention about this particular interaction between Lori Vallow and Alex Cox is in line 1837, that Lori Vallow had to check everything with her, quote, source to make sure she had her information correct, but that it was really good.
Did this indicate to you that Lori herself didn't have this information?
Yes, that's why I think it's significant.
And did you also see in here that Lori was then going to pass that information on to Alex?
Yes.
Did you learn through the investigation who Lori's source was?
Foundation.
Sustained.
Through the investigation, did you see messages from Lori to Chad quite frequently?
Very frequently.
In those messages, was she oftentimes requesting information?
Yes.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, would you indicate the date these were sent into the record?
Yes. These three text or four text messages were sent on July 18th of 2019.
What had happened 7 days prior to these messages?
Lori Vallow's husband, Charles Vallow, had been shot and killed.
Through your investigation, did you learn who Hillary was a reference to?
Yes.
And who was that?
Tylee.
And there's also a name in here, Raphael. Did you learn who Raphael referred to?
Raphael is a name, another name used by Chad Daybell between he and Lori Vallow very frequently throughout the course of their communications.
And also a name, James. Do you know who that referred to?
Yes, that is another name for Chad Daybell as referenced in the James and Elena communications between Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell.
And did you learn who Amy was in reference to?
I did not. Could not find out specifically who Amy was.
What about this series of messages stood out to you?
There were three very critical components to these messages.
Can we go through them one by one, please?
Yes.
What was the first one?
The first is line 2667. This is a text that is initiated by Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow, indicating that he has been instructed to focus his efforts on Tylee Ryan.
And what was the second thing that stood out to you?
The second thing is present in the following two lines, 2665 and 2660. Lori Vallow makes a reference to Chad Daybell or a request to find out her, meaning Tylee Ryan's, percentage, as well as JJ's percentage. That word is referring to the death percentage for Tylee Ryan and JJ.
Judge, I'm going to object. Calls for speculation. Move to strike.
Overruled.
In fact, in subsequent texts, the
Judge,
exact...
I'm going to object at this point. Non-responsive. There hasn't been a question.
Agent Hart, you were explaining why those lines stood out to you. Could you please continue your explanation?
The words death percentage are used in subsequent texts. This series of text messages is the first in a series of texts that will take place over the next 3 weeks between Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. In those text messages in varying degrees of detail, they refer to the death percentages of Tylee, JJ, and Tammy. Those text messages over that course of 3 weeks.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. It's again becoming a narrative.
Sustained.
And what course of time or what period of time did those messages cover?
Approximately 3 weeks.
And when we look at that line 2660, there is reference to specific percentages, it appears.
Yes.
Could you talk about that a little bit?
Again, this is a message from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow, wherein he is indicating his death percentages for Tylee at 0.13 and for JJ at 99.99. Which follows with a reference that Raphael or Chad Daybell had visited JJ and told JJ to follow Amy into the light, which is a common reference for death.
In this particular message, there's also a reference to turning up the pain to 10. Who said that again?
Chad Daybell.
And also a reference to placing a spiritual virus in her. Who said that?
Chad Daybell.
And then in that last sentence, did anything about that stand out to you?
Well, line 2660 is a specific conversation regarding the deaths of Lori's children.
Judge, I'm going to object. That's calling for speculation and a conclusion, and I'm going to move to strike.
I'll sustain the objection and strike the response.
Based on your investigation, your experience, and review of these messages, what did you believe line 2660 to be referencing?
It's referencing their death percentages.
And who are they?
Tylee and JJ.
And what is Lori's response to that, to the talk of death percentages of her children?
That it's sweet and she misses Chad Daybell desperately.
Was this the first time in these messages that you had seen reference to these death percentages that you can recall?
Yes, this is the first message, and there are several that follow in the next 3 weeks, and then later on, there are additional similar conversations regarding Tammy.
Were there additional messages on July 18th of 2019?
Yes, this conversation continues for the next couple of slides.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, you indicated these are a continuation from the messages on the previous slide. Is that correct?
Yes.
What about these particular messages stood out to you?
Primarily lines 26, 22, 2608, and 2607.
Through the investigation, did you become familiar with what has been referred to as the James and Elena story?
Yes.
Did you become familiar with some of the texts that appeared to be a reference or continuation of that story as well?
Yes.
And do you know what, were you familiar with the term storm?
I am.
And did you know what that was in reference to?
Yes.
And what was that?
That's Chad Daybell's penis.
And Chad's texting to Lori to grab him by his storm. And
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. It's somewhat leading, and I think the
sustain on leading.
What else about those three, that series of three messages caught your attention?
Well, throughout Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow's relationship, Lori is pushing Chad Daybell. And so I included these to show Lori Vallow questioning Chad Daybell remarks that he'll follow her to the end of the universe. And her response is, when? When might that be? Chad's response is in reference to a planned trip that he would take the following week, July 24th through July 26th of 2019, to be together with Lori Vallow. That's the reference to Wednesday evening to Friday. But we see Lori Vallow pushing Chad Daybell as it relates to their relationship.
So it would be Chad and Lori were going to be together physically or at the same time?
Yes, Chad Daybell traveled to be with Lori Vallow for a period of 2.5 days.
And again, during this time, was Tammy Daybell still alive?
Yes.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, I believe you indicated these are a continuation as well from the previous two slides.
They are.
What was it about these messages that caught your attention?
Primarily, there was two things.
And can we go through them one by one?
Sure.
What was the first thing?
The first is again, we see Lori Vallow manipulating Chad Daybell. In the prior slide, Chad Daybell had indicated that they would have this time together Wednesday through Friday. And Lori Vallow's response to that is, then what? And she then says, back to crying and saying goodbye, back to the box, as a reference to being trapped with their inability to be together.
And at this point in time, Charles Vallow has been killed.
This is 1 week following his death.
But Tammy's still alive.
Correct.
And what was the second thing?
The second thing is line 2603, which is Chad Daybell's response to her. And he references that extreme changes are coming for him, and he welcomes those changes.
And do you recall from previous testimony references Chad also made about feeling trapped?
Judge, I'm going to object. It's leading.
Yes.
And do you recall approximately, or do you recall what those statements were, what that was in reference to?
Yes, that conversation took place at the conclusion of this trip that they're talking about. So that would have been on July 26th of 2019, where Chad Daybell references the Harry Potter stories and feeling trapped, having to live under a stairwell. And he gets to escape occasionally to have adventures with his goddess lover.
And when you look at that line 2603, there's a reference to extreme changes. Did that catch your attention?
It did.
What did you, through your investigation and experience, what did you believe that to be in reference to?
Judge, calling for speculation. Objection.
Overruled.
Well, within 3 months of this date, Tylee, JJ, and Tammy are all dead.
Moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you indicate the date these messages were exchanged into the record?
Yes, this is July 20th of 2019.
And who are these messages between?
Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell.
There's an individual reference named Blake. Did you learn who that was?
Blake is Melanie Boudreau's son.
Do you know his approximate age?
3 to 4 years old at the time of this message.
What about these messages caught your attention?
There were two things primarily that caught my attention in this series of communications.
What was the first one?
The first is, again, Lori Vallow is petitioning Chad Daybell to find out Blake's percentage. So repeatedly, we see Lori Vallow asking Chad Daybell to provide that information. Chad Daybell is the source of the death percentages.
What was the second thing?
The second thing is that this is a conversation about a 3 or 4 year old child. And in line 2481, Chad Daybell writes that he decreased that child's pain tolerance to 1% and greatly increased his pain.
And do you recall in one of the previous slides in reference to Tylee Ryan, Chad talking about turning up or causing her pain?
Yes.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you indicate the date these messages were exchanged into the record?
July 23rd of 2019.
And who were these messages between?
Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell.
What about these messages caught your attention?
Again, two things primarily caught my attention.
And what was the first thing?
The first is, if we look at the time of these messages, there's an 11-hour gap between line 2276 and 2244. In line 2276, Lori Vallow petitions Chad Daybell to check JJ. In the subsequent line, 11 hours later, she's asking Chad Daybell to check Tylee to see if Tylee has been, quote, switched. And so these messages are 5 days after the initial first message that I ever located regarding death percentages. And so this is now the second time that I could find in the review of the iCloud where Lori Vallow is asking Chad Daybell specifically to check on JJ and then to check on Tylee. So that's the first thing that stood out to me.
And Charles Vallow had been killed not long before these messages?
12 days prior.
What was the second thing that stood out to you?
The second thing that stood out to me is in line 2241, which is Chad Daybell's response to her. And he replies that, yes, Tylee has been switched. And he says, let me know when you can talk and I will explain it. So Chad Daybell is the one who will explain.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. Speculation.
And what was the last part of that answer?
Lori Vallow is making inquiries to Chad Daybell, and Chad Daybell tells her, I will explain it.
Prior to Charles being killed, are you aware if he was deemed to have been possessed?
He was.
And ultimately, he was killed.
He was.
Moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you read the date of these messages into the record?
Yes, July 26th of 2019.
So this is just 3 days after that those last messages we looked at?
Correct.
What about these messages caught your attention?
That the pattern of Lori Vallow asking Chad Daybell to check is continuing. So on line 2119, Lori Vallo writes, "Need you to check JJ," and references his behavior, which was a departure from what was normal for him.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you read into the record the date these messages were exchanged?
These messages were also, as with the previous slide, on July 26th, 2019.
What about these particular messages stood out to you?
Well, in response to the previous slide's request by Lori Vallo to Chad Daybell to check JJ, Chad Daybell replies that essentially JJ is still his true self, but he indicates whoever told Lori Vallo that JJ was calm and watching movies had been lying. So Chad Daybell answers Lori Vallo's inquiry regarding checking JJ.
And looking to that next message, are you aware who Brighton is?
Yes.
And who is that?
Brighton is another of Melanie Boudreau's children.
And the name Mel there, do you know who that was referencing?
That's Melanie Boudreau.
Was there anything about that next message that caught your attention?
This next message is somewhat vague, but we see a reference to a big plan, which is a word that we see repeatedly in conversations between Lori Vallo and Chad Daybell referencing their plans.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you read the date of these messages into the record?
Yes, these four messages were exchanged on July 29th of 2019.
Who were the messages being exchanged between?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo.
What about these particular messages caught your attention?
At this particular time in the investigation, Lori Vallo, Melanie Boudreau, and their children, as well as Alex Cox, had decided to take a trip to the California coast. And so these messages were sent to Lori Vallo as they were driving in the car, as Lori Vallo, Melanie Boudreau, Alex Cox, and the children were driving to California. And so Chad Daybell makes an offer to Lori Vallo to cause pain to the two, quote, threes that she was riding with.
And looking at that, at the line 1872, did any of that catch your attention?
Of course. In line 1877, the two threes are referencing two of the children that are in the car with them. And in line 1872, Chad Daybell indicates that he would at least give them a reason to scream, indicating a supposed ability to cause physical pain to those children.
After offering to cause physical pain to the children, what were the next things he said?
He told Lori that he loved, cherished, treasured, and adored her. The wonderful memories just keep coming back. She was mesmerizing, and that Raphael, which is the name for Chad Daybell, is one lucky guy.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, would you read the date of these messages into the record?
These messages were exchanged on July 30th of 2019.
And who are these messages between?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo.
What about these particular messages caught your attention?
There were three very critical components of these messages.
Can we start with the first one?
Yes.
And what was that?
The first one is in line 1781. This is a text initiated by Chad Daybell to Lori Vallo. And you can see that Chad said he had the inspiration to go back to my original death percentages. So this is the first time that we see the full phrase of death percentage, and it is attributable to Chad Daybell by the use of the word my. And then he indicates that these death percentages helped him track Charles, which is a reference to Charles Vallo. Ned is the name of the demonic entity that was alleged to be possessing Charles Vallo. And then he indicates that Tammy is very close. Her death percentage has fallen steadily, and concludes with, it is encouraging exclamation point.
Do you also see the reference in there to Hyplos or Iplos?
Yes.
Do you know who that's in reference to?
That's the name of a demonic entity that was supposed to have been inside of Tammy Daybell.
And you said Tammy on Hyplos.
Yes. So it says Tammy is very close. Her percentage, meaning Tammy's percentage, has fallen steadily since Hyplos left. So that entity is now out of her.
Do you recall if Hyplos was an entity that was indicated to be associated with Charles Vallow?
Judge, I'm going to object. That's leading.
Sustained.
Do you know who else Hyplos may have been associated with?
There was another reference to that, using that same demonic entity name with Charles Vallow.
What was the second thing that stood out to you?
The second thing that stood out is this reference to Chad Daybell's death percentages that helped track Charles Vallow. Charles Vallow didn't have a heart attack or pass away in his sleep.
Judge, I'm going to object. It's narrative.
Overruled.
He was shot and killed. And so these death percentages by Chad Daybell are not simply a reference to natural deaths.
And what was the third thing?
Well, the third thing is in lines 1779 and 1778. Lori's response to Chad is to inquire, what is the percentage now? Meaning, what is Tammy Daybell's death percentage? And then she follows that up with yet another inquiry. This would be now the third inquiry about JJ's death percentage. Chad Daybell responds, Tammy is at 3, JJ is at 2.
And based on your review and your investigation, in relation to death percentages, what was the indication the lower the number got?
Well, it's not consistent. So you have references where the lower the number, the closer to death they are. And then you have references where the higher the number, the closer they are. So in the previous communication, you saw Chad Daybell indicate that JJ was at 99.99. And he instructed JJ to follow Amy into the light. In this occasion, we flipped and they're at the opposite end of the spectrum, saying that Tammy is at 3 and now JJ is at 2 versus the prior message. So there's a lack of consistency, but the higher the number in one case, the lower the number in another.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you indicate the date these messages were sent into the record?
Yes, July 30th, 2019. These are a continuation from the previous slide.
And what about these messages stood out to you?
Well, first, Lori Vallow's response back to Chad Daybell after receiving his answer that I believe it was Tammy was at a 3 and JJ was at a 2. She replies 2 and 3%, not 0. So we see Lori Vallow pushing. Zero meaning the time has come for those individuals to die.
Judge, objection calls for speculation. I'm going to move to strike, Judge.
Well, the objection's not timely. I'll overrule it at this point. But Ms. Blake, I am concerned if the witness is making his own interpretations of these messages not based on the investigation. So if you could direct the examination that way, that'll help with the objections.
And in coming to that conclusion, was that based on your experience and your review of the information?
Yes.
What else stood out about this particular message?
Line 1776, where Chad Daybell says, I will explain when we talk, indicating he is the source of what's happening.
Was that consistent with your review of these messages?
Yes, we see that exact phrase multiple times. I will explain.
Anything else about this particular series that stood out to you?
Well, lastly, again, we see how Lori Vallow is attempting to manipulate Chad Daybell. She concludes this conversation with, okay, still feeling hot for you.
And moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read. And Agent Hart, can you indicate the date these were being sent into the record?
These two text messages were also on July 30th of 2019.
And who were these messages between?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
What about these particular messages caught your attention?
Two things.
What was the first one?
The first is a continuation to further explain Chad Daybell's death percentages. In the second sentence, he references this chart that checks what percentage mortals are still in their body, and then indicates that it worked for his friend's wife who died. And so we see just a further explanation of death percentages, and that this is talking about physical, real death, not spiritual death or some other kind of death.
Was that chart that was referenced, was a copy of it ever located?
No, we could never find the actual chart. I can't account for where it might be.
And what was the second thing that stood out to you?
Well, there are two more. The first is that he references Tammy Daybell, his wife, that she said she felt lightheaded as if her body and spirit weren't connected.
And then what was the third thing?
The third thing is in line 1773, where Chad Daybell indicates he would update the list and figure out Brandon, Adam, and others. The reference to Brandon is Brandon Boudreau, and on October 2nd of 2019.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. This is definitely becoming a narrative.
Sustained.
Who was Brandon referencing?
Brandon Boudreau.
Do you know of something that happened in relation to Brandon Boudreau?
Yes.
What was that?
On October 2nd, 2019, an attempt was made on his life.
Are you aware of an attempt that was made on Tammy Daybell's life?
Judge, I'm going to object. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
I am.
And when was that?
October 9th, 2019.
Moving to the next slide, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.